The photographer Ouija, a.k.a. Arthur Fellig, worked the police beat on New York's Lower East Side in the 1930s and 40s, documenting countless crime scenes for the tabloids. Ouija enjoyed a privileged status among reporters and photojournalists. In 1938, he was the only member of the New York Press Corps with a permit to have a portable police band shortwave radio. The radio enabled Fellig, who would be compared to a Ouija board, to arrive on the crime scene even before the authorities to take his grisly photos. These days in New York, photographers are still working very closely with police. WFIU's Yael Cassander reports from an exhibition of contemporary photos currently on view at Bloomington's Pictura Gallery.
Antonio Bolfo shares a thing or two with Ouija. Bolfo is also a member of the press corps. Represented by a reportage by Getty Images since 2009, his pictures have appeared everywhere from the New York Times to Time magazine. And, like Ouija, he has created a large body of work devoted to the police beat in New York.
The work is very dark. You just sort of are sucked in and down into this really hellish environment.
Lisa Berry and Mia Dauglish, who curated Bolfo's show at Pictura Gallery, might as well have been talking about Ouija's pictures. Ouija trolled the Lower East Side, while Bolfo spent 2 years in an equally grim setting, following the cops assigned to a housing project in the South Bronx as part of the NYPD's Operation Impact.
They take the most newly graduated police officers, rookies per se, and they put them in a unit to patrol the areas of New York City with the highest crime rate.
For the native New Yorker, the projects cast a long shadow.
The housing project as an element of society, you know, it has so much lore in urban myth. About how dangerous they are. You know, there's gangs, drug dealers, murderers, rapists.
As Ouija must have experienced on the Lower East Side, there would be no shortage of material. Instead of training his lens on the perps, however, Antonio was more interested in the cops.
As a new guy in areas where there is a significant amount of crime, low-income neighborhoods, the work varies from, you know, murders and gangs and drug dealers to domestic violence, missing kids. It's quite a trial by fire. You know, it's a roller coaster.
It's a joyride many of us gladly take from the comfort of our living room. But Antonio came to this photo project with a little more experience than the average law and order junkie.
Yeah, well, I went to RISD, Rhode Island School of Design. I graduated in 2004. I majored in film and animation. And I worked for a video game company for a few years, Harmonix. And designing like PlayStation games, Xbox games. And it was around 2005 when I started to get kind of, you know, ants in my pants, wanted to do something different, something a little bit more social oriented, and decided to become a cop.
Wow, you know, I didn't see that biographical element on your website at all. I had no idea that you had been a member of the Corps. Is that something that you don't share widely, or?
Yeah, you know, it's, unfortunately, police officers in New York City and in other cities in America are not held in high regard. And when I was a cop, I would not share that with people in the public because I would usually be judged. People would look down on me. You know, unfortunately, when you're part of such a big department like the NYPD, everyone kind of falls under an umbrella and you get categorized.
Is restoring the humanity to the police profession part of what your goal is here?
Well, absolutely. You know, for the most part, my experience, which wasn't that long, but I met tons of great cops, some of the best people I've ever met in the world, and they fell under this kind of like negative umbrella that people had. You know, it's very hard because, you know, when you get stopped by a cop, you know, at a traffic light, and they put the lights and sirens behind you, you stop, they walk up to you. You know, it's very hard to differentiate between them. They're all kind of, they're very intimidating. They're all wearing the same uniform. You know, this was putting a face on that. And so when people see this, they actually literally see that there are different faces that cops have, not just the professional one asking you for your license.
One of the things that really stands out about this project is the vulnerability.
Mia Dauglish.
It really holds a lot of different emotive moments, and that really draws the viewer in because it really does feel like it's in first person.
Take, for example, the photo titled 1013.
These three officers are hearing a 1013, which is an officer calling for help on the street.
Inside a cement block hallway, a large baby-faced cop wears a faraway expression while his partner pays rapt attention to the radio he clutches. The third officer holds her face in her hands while waiting for the elevator.
These officers, they don't have access to police vehicles on their patrol, so they kind of have to, you know, stand around and hear this this fight, this escalation taking place over the radio without being able to do anything. And I think that, you know, it speaks to the situation, but also it represents a greater kind of moral aspect of being a cop, where you're constantly seeing a lot of negative stuff and people in need and jeopardy, and you can only do so much. You know, you realize that you can't save the world.
It's the officer's emotional life that becomes the subject, not the crimes they're hearing on their radio. Transmissions that, had this been New York in the 1930s, might have prompted Ouija to race over and start shooting. Ouija was the only member of the press allowed to carry a police band radio. Antonio's presence at scenes like the one in 1013 suggests that he too must enjoy a privileged relationship vis-a-vis the NYPD, even though on his website you'll read the official disclosure: Antonio Bolfo is in no way affiliated with or connected to the New York City Police Department. How were you able to have access to a scene like this, these most intimate, vulnerable moments?
You have the right as an American citizen to photograph in a public space, and that, you know, is also for police officers. If you see in this body of work, you know, I never really crossed that boundary in going into a police facility or going to a place where a civilian is not allowed to go.
So you weren't embedded, in other words?
No. You know, I'm just kind of like hanging behind them and just hoping to catch, you know, a moment that I thought was important enough to take a photo. You know, anyone can go up to a police officer on the street and take a photo. I mean, if you look at all these photographs from Occupy Wall Street, you know, there's no, you know, kind of barrier to that. I think that being said, there was a level of comfort of me kind of floating around them because they knew I was an officer. They knew people I worked with. You know, it took a little while to gain that trust, but
he seemed to earn it. In the end, Bolfo's photos are highly empathic portraits of men and women doing a strenuous, dangerous job in a bleak setting. The claustrophobia of life in the projects is reinforced by the geometry that structures each shot, the emotional intensity enhanced by the chiaroscuro effect of shooting without flash. Seeking to offer a more nuanced portrait of the life of a police officer assigned to patrol a housing project in the South Bronx, Bolfo seems motivated by a traditional photojournalistic impulse, the desire to make things better, which may have also had something to do with his signing up for the police force.
You know, I was very idealistic at that point in my life. I was in my mid-20s and thought I could save the world. Obviously, that's not the case as a cop or a photojournalist.
For WFIU, I'm Yael Cassander.
Impact: Photographs by Antonio Bolfo is on view at Pictura Gallery in Bloomington through January the 28th. You can see a selection of Bolfo's photographs on our website at wfiu.org/arts.